Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is data maintenance in a WebSphere Commerce database. Today's presenter is Andre Foleman. Andre is a software engineer at the IBM Toronto Lab, Canada. He is a senior member of the WebSphere Commerce support team and a subject matter expert on performance and stability of WebSphere Commerce site. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Andre.
Hello, Joseph. Thanks for that. If we can go to slide number 2 to begin the presentation. So, this presentation is going to be about data maintenance in our WebSphere Commerce database. And data maintenance refers to the process of removing stale or unneeded data from your WebSphere Commerce database. Implementing a sound data maintenance strategy is key for every WebSphere Commerce deployment, because we know that, from experience, without a strategy in place, data cleanup issues can introduce problems in matters of weeks. The problems that you may see are, for example, performance degradation, increased backup and restore times, and also you could see that you're exceeding the available storage. So if we can now move to slide number 3, please. So now the slide number 3 is displaying, and we're going to talk about the agenda that we're going to cover today. And the first topic is going to be identifying the data that you can maintain. Then we're going to discuss how to define policies to maintain this data. And then we're going to move to how to enforce the policies to maintain the data. And as part of enforcing policies, we're going to talk about tuning, testing, and also scheduling concepts. If we can move to slide number 4, please. Slide number 4 is to introduce the 3 main tasks that we're going to be talking as part of a data maintenance strategy. And again, we mentioned during the agenda that the first part is going to be how to identify the data to maintain. Then we're going to discuss how to define the policies. And finally, how to enforce the policies with the script. And now in the following slides, we're going to discuss in detail each of these boxes. So if we can move to slide number 5, please. This is about identifying the data to maintain. Now, if you have a live site, you can collect statistics, grow statistics from your production database. And this could be collected weekly or on monthly basis. And you can look at how much space the table spaces are using, but you can also look at the table sizes, what we know as the cardinality of the table that refers to the number of rows in the table. Or you can also look at for a particular data inside the table. This process for collecting the grow statistic doesn't need to be intrusive. Databases such as DB2 or Oracle, they store in the database statistics the cardinality of the table. So you can write a script to store these cardinalities and save them into a separate table, and then on weekly or monthly basis you keep saving the statistics, and then you can compare and do an analysis of the growth. Also, if you don't have a live site, you can also look at the database cleanup utility, dbclean, which provides a list of out-of-the-box delete configurations. And if you review the list that is provided out-of-the-box, you can identify which ones may be applicable to you. Some of the fastest growing options usually are going to be orders, such as pending, completed, or the trash can, member, which refers to guest and register users, and you have other tables such as address, cache IBL, stack log. So these are some tables that you need to watch for, but you should also collect the raw statistics and review the out-of-the-box delete configuration. So if we move to slide number 6, please. These are 2 other tables. The difference with the tables that we mentioned before is that there is an out-of-the-box mechanism for cleaning up these tables already implemented. However, I want to mention these 2 tables because they can grow extremely fast, so it's good that you keep an eye on them. So the first ones are the business context tables, such as CX, CTX management, and CTX data. Every time you create a new session, many rows can be inserted on each of these tables. So they can grow really, really rapidly. By default, the activity cleanup scheduler command is configured to run daily at midnight and clean up the tables. But we still recommend that you track the sizes and ensure that they are not growing too big. Also, if you would rather not use the activity cleanup job, you could decide to move the tables and implement it with dbclean. The scheduler is another area that we have seen problems before, and there are different alternatives to maintain the scheduler tables, such as using the clean job scheduler command, or using the admin console, and from the GUI you can delete the rows. Also, if you wanted, you could implement a cleanup configuration for the scheduler tables using dbclean again. So if we can move to slide number 7, please. We are now going to start discussing how to define cleanup policies. As the database is in constant growth, the data cannot be kept forever. So at one point, historical data needs to be moved to a warehouse, a reporting database, or cleaned up. So you need to define policies that are in accordance with the business, and these policies need to be documented. And some examples of questions that are going to define the policies are, for example, for how long should pending orders be kept for guest and registered users? Another question could be, for how long should guest users with only pending orders be kept in the system? Or for how long should completed orders need to be maintained? There are some tables for which you're not going to need the accordance or approval from the business, and these are strictly operational tables such as the cache IBL or the stack log tables. These tables do not contain any user data, so it's going to be up to the technical team to decide when is the best time to clean them up. If we can move to the slide number 8, please. Finally, the last step is to implement a script to enforce the policies that you just defined. And dbclean is the Web Commerce utility designed to help you clean up the database. And as I mentioned before, it comes with a predefined list of delete statements to delete common Web Commerce objects, such as users, order, catalog, stack log, etc. But the tool can also be customized, so you can add your own statements or you can update the provided ones. So you can implement your own scripts, like shell scripts, and use the cron to invoke the dbclean utility to clean up the tables. So if we can move to slide number 9, please. Now we're going to discuss about tuning the out-of-the-box delete statements. So the Web Commerce cleanup statements are written to consider the different ways in which Web Commerce is used. And there could be opportunities to improve performance by customizing the out-of-the-box statements to match the way your implementation uses the tables. A recommendation is that if you decide to customize a default dbclean configuration, the recommended approach is that you add a new configuration to the utility instead of modifying the existing one. And this is done to ensure that the changes are not lost during a fixed pack install or a migration. If we can move to slide number 10, please. Slide number 10 is an example of an out-of-the-box delete configuration to remove a stale guest order, which means basically remove pending orders for guest users. Now, this is going to give you an idea of how you can go around tuning and customizing the other statements that are offered out of the box. So you're going to see the out-of-the-box statement, and we're going to discuss what of the each subqueries are doing. So the first one is there's a condition to check that the member ID in the orders table exists in the user table and the register type is G, meaning that the user is a guest user. So you're paying a penalty and there's some cost in checking on the user table to see if the order belongs to a guest or a registered user every time. So for example, if the base parameter is the same for register and guest users, meaning that you can delete pending orders from guest or registered users after, for example, 2 weeks, then you could remove the member condition and merge the delete for guest and registered users. And this is going to make the delete statement run faster because it's going to be simpler for the database to execute. If we continue looking at the dbclean configuration, we're going to see that the next one is a condition to ensure that the order doesn't contain any items which inventory status is different to non-allocated. Now, allocated and non-allocated are ATP concepts, the ATP inventory management system from Wizard Commerce. But if your store doesn't use ATP, let's say you're only allocating inventory on order process, so then probably this subquery can be removed from your site because you're not going to have any pending orders which have inventory status different to non-allocated, given that once order process is executed, the order is going to change the status and it's not going to be a pending order anymore. Now, the last condition is you're going to see that goes after the RMI item table. And the RMI item table is for returns. Now, typically you would think that you're deleting pending orders, so there cannot be any returns for these orders. However, the delete is also considering I orders, which means accepted, submitted, payment is pending. So now, if your site is not using I orders, which is payment pending, then you can probably remove the subquery as well, because there's not going to be any pending orders which have returns in your site. So this gives an example how you could really simplify the delete statement for orders and make it match the way that the tables are used by your site. I mean, this is not something that can be done out of the box, because if some other customer is using the tables in a different way, then we would be deleting data that they should be preserving. So we think this is a really good example of how you could tune an out-of-the-box statement. And we are including a link to a tech note which explains this in more detail. So if we can move to slide number 11, please. We continue in the topic of tuning, and we're going to discuss what the commit frequency does. So the dbclean utility allows you to set a commit frequency, which makes the transaction more manageable and also reduces contention by freeing logs more often. Now, in order to support multiple commit points, the SQLs are rewritten by the tool. So when you're saying delete from a particular table, we're going to introduce for DB2 the fetch first number of rows only, or for Oracle we're going to say row number is less than the commit count. So what this means is that if you set a commit count of 100, the delete statement is never going to delete more than 100 rows. And if you're deleting thousands of rows, the delete statement is going to have to be executed many, many, many times. For example, if you're deleting 100,000 rows and you set the commit count to 1, the delete is going to be executed 100,000 times. So the problem is sometimes you're paying a table scanning cost, that is called. It's the cost that the database, the I/O and CPU cost that the database is doing to find the rows that can be deleted. So if you have a big table scanning cost and you're executing the delete many times, the performance is going to be really poor. So we recommend that you tune the commit frequency, and we have seen customers can usually set it from 5,000 to 20,000, meaning that the delete is going to be executed a lot less. Again, the performance is going to vary a lot depending on how the statement is written. If the statement is going by basically using an index or a primary key, then the performance is not going to be that bad by executing more deletes than less deletes. So if we can move to the next slide, please, number 12. So we discussed tuning, and that means that you're going to be changing the, and you're going to be using the out-of-the-box statement as a template to create your own. So functional testing is a very important topic, and it's to guarantee the correctness of the delete that you're writing, either out-of-the-box or your customized ones. And we want to stress that when tuning and customizing dbclean, the schema and the table relationships need to be well understood, because Wizard Commerce uses a lot of cascade deletes on foreign key relationships. So deleting on one table may have unintended consequences. So as part of the testing, you need to verify the correctness of the deletes and validate the data being removed. And it's very important that you have a business user validate the state of the database after the delete. You don't, many times a technical person or a VBA would not be able to tell that the site is functional after executing a delete. So you would want business user to really validate the site. It's not mentioned here, but typically when you're doing testing, you're going to have three roles. One is going to be the DBA. Then you're going to have business users involved that are going to finally approve or disapprove the delete. And you may also have a performance specialist that can help you with the tuning of the delete. So if we move to slide number 13, please. This is continuing on the functional testing case. And as we mentioned before, all the WSL common foreign keys are defined with the cascade delete option. So multiple tables can be affected by a single delete. The info center is a good place to start as it's going to list all the table relationships. But to give you an example, for example, if you go and delete a row from the offer table, you could be cascading to ordered items and losing order data. The same if you delete a catalog entry that is related to an ordered item, you're going to lose ordered items. Something that you could be doing is when you execute a delete on a particular table, you can do a count before and after of all the tables in the schema and validate which tables got rows deleted from. So you could be seeing not only the table that you're executing the delete on, but you're also going to see if the delete cascaded to any other tables. So if we can move to slide number 14, please. As part of functional testing, we wanted to mention and remind people about the use of each generic. So each generic determines, is a flag in a command, and it's going to determine if the command can be executed by the generic user, which is -1002, or if a new user needs to be created as a result of executing the command. To give you an example, when you look at the product page, you don't need a user to be created. But when you're adding to cart, if you're executing with the generic user, then you need a guest user to be created. Sometimes when customizing, it's not uncommon to see that, for example, you have a product page and it's invoking a custom command, and the custom command is setting the each generic flag to false. And this means that every time that page is executed, a new user is going to be created. So you're going to end up seeing that you have thousands and thousands of guest users in the member and the users table, and they don't even have orders. So you can see that if you're running into this problem, and especially if the problem is in one of the catalog pages, you're going to end up with thousands and thousands of guest users, and it's going to be very difficult to clean them up afterwards. So as part of the functional testing, it's good to verify that you're not unnecessarily creating users when you don't need to. And there's a tech note, a link to a tech note in the slide that is going to explain this in more detail too. So if we can move to slide number 15, please. Now we are moving to the non-functional testing or performance testing. And the purpose of performance testing is to predict and to minimize the impact of the database cleanup to the live site. As we mentioned, the cleanup could add some stress to the system in the form of, you could see high CPU in the database server, a decrease in overall response site times, or log contention. So to perform non-functional testing, you will need a performance environment and the ability to simulate load. This is going to be especially important if you really have a large number of rows to delete, because you're going to need some kind of performance testing to help you estimate how long the deletion is going to take, and also if the deletion is going to fit inside your maintenance window. So if we can move to slide number 16, please. As part of performance testing, we're going to talk about cascade delete locking now. So DB2 requires that all the foreign keys be supported by indexes to prevent locking. And there's a very important APAR in DB2 Fixpack 18, which is mentioned is IG16942, that is going to help you a lot in reducing the locking that is caused by a cascade delete. So as I said, when you're deleting from a table that has a cascade relationship, DB2 requires that the foreign key be supported by indexes to prevent locking. But in the out-of-the-box schema, not all the foreign keys have indexes to support them. Anyways, we have seen that after applying the DB2 APAR, typically you don't run into cascade delete locking anymore, but you should still validate to see that you're not having the problem. So the recommendation is that you apply the DB2 APAR, and then a very simple way to see if you're running into cascade delete locking is to open two sessions, set auto-commit off. You can disable the lock timeout as it is in the slide with set current lock timeout -1, and then you can delete one order on one terminal and a different order on a different terminal. Or you could be deleting a member on one terminal and a different member on the other terminal. Typically, you are deleting two different orders which don't share any data, so these two shouldn't lock each other. However, if you are seeing locking, it could be related to this cascade delete locking effect that we are discussing. And a way to validate that your kind of locking is indeed some cascade delete locking and it's not related to these two records sharing the same data and going after the same data is that if you get a snapshot for locks, you're going to see that the offset type is an end of table lock. I'm going to move forward, but I guess if there are any questions, we can discuss them in the QA session. So if we go to the oracle, which is on slide 17, please. Oracle also requires that the foreign keys be supported by indexes. But in contrast with DB2, Oracle is going to lock all the tables up front, including those that are not used. So you could be seeing locking in tables that are not typically used or even deprecated, such as forum message, which we hardly ever see a customer using it. However, you could be running into cascade delete locking on that table. And again, the same as in DB2, in Oracle, you can set auto-commit off and attempt to execute two deletes at the same time. By having auto-commit off, remember all the write locks are kept until the end of the transaction, so you're going to be able to reproduce the problem. Now, for the Oracle case, where Sphere Commerce Support has an APAR that is listed in the slide, ISAT 33815, and if your site is experiencing hang due to cascade delete locking while DBClean is executing, and you see that the locking is related to the fact that you're having cascade delete problems, you can contact with Sphere Commerce Support and request information on this APAR. Again, the number of indexes is going to be considerable because there are many indexes that are going to be needed to prevent this kind of locking. And we recommend that you only attempt to apply this APAR if you're really running into a problem with cascade delete locking. Otherwise, you're going to make a considerable change to your production environment. You're going to need more storage to be able to maintain the indexes, and there could be a slight performance degradation during insert time because the insert now is going to have to maintain the indexes as well. Now, if we can move to slide number 18, please. Now, we're going to discuss about scheduling the data maintenance scripts. And the data maintenance scripts need to run in a low traffic maintenance window. And this is usually done weekly. However, some cleanups may need to be done daily, depending on how fast the tables are growing. As I mentioned before, performance testing will be required to understand how long the cleanup will take and if it will complete during the maintenance window. And the data maintenance scripts are usually scheduled before the database maintenance. The difference is, again, data maintenance refers to clean up data, actual data from the tables, while database maintenance refers to commands such as transstat, so update statistics, reorg, rbind, or what for Oracle would be the analyze command, what used to be the analyze command. In this slide, I think we have a sentence that basically defines the presentation and why we wanted to introduce this topic to you. And it's that the data maintenance script needs to be scheduled as soon as the site is live. And once the data accumulates, the cleanup will be difficult and will require a considerable amount of tuning. We were discussing how to customize the out-of-the-box statements before. So if you need to clean 1,000 users, your tuning effort is going to be really, really small, or you won't have to do it at all. I mean, clean up 1,000, 20,000 users, it's going to be really fast. However, if you haven't done any maintenance and your site has been live for some time, and you find that you need to delete 50 million members, then I don't think you're going to be able to just rely on the out-of-the-box statement to be able to clean up those 50 million rows. In order to do that, you're going to have to implement and to do the tuning that we mentioned before, and that's going to be an effort. So the recommendation is, as soon as a site is live, you have a data maintenance strategy in place from the first day, and then your tuning effort is going to be really, really small. If we can move to slide number 19, please. Now we're going to discuss about staging. You know that the recommended approach, the best practice for a Westfield commerce site is to have a staging server where you're going to have, for example, the catalog management, promotion management, campaigns, and then when you're done, you're going to move all the data that you changed into the production server. However, the data in staging, the database in staging doesn't contain any user data. And if you look at the dbclean statements, they have rules so that operational data, which is referenced by user data, are not deleted. For example, if you look at a delete for catalog entries, you can see that the delete is going to say, do not delete any catalog entries if this catalog entry is associated to an ordered item. However, if you run this delete in staging, as you don't have any ordered items in the staging database, the delete is going to run, and it's going to allow you to delete the catalog entry. However, because you have a staging environment, this delete is going to be captured, and when it's pushed to the production database, you may be losing user data. So it's very important to consider how you're going to be doing the cleanup if you really require to run a cleanup in the staging environment other than the stack log table, and to ensure that it's going to be in sync with the production database and no data is going to be lost because of the propagation and because of the fact that no user data is in the staging. And if you look at the slide, there's a tech note that is going to explain in more detail how the dbclean utility can be used on a production system and on a staging system. And if we can move to slide number 20, please. This is going to conclude the presentation. In summary, implementing a sound data maintenance strategy is key for every Westfield commerce deployment, and not having a strategy in place will lead to performance degradation, increased backup and restore times, or exceeding the available storage. And implementing a strategy requires planning, and you have to understand how the database grows, determine policies, and implement scripts and schedule them. You should also tune and customize the delete statements to achieve maximum performance, and test it is essential. You need to ensure the correctness of the delete operations and to minimize the impact on the life cycle. And if we can move to slide number 21, please. These are some additional resources that you may find helpful. The first one is an article that I co-wrote about different techniques to improve online cleanup in our Westfield Commerce DB2 database. This goes beyond dbclean, and we actually experimented with some different ways, and we got some benchmarks to see what techniques would work best. The second link we mentioned is how to understand the dbclean configuration for a stale guest user. The third link is a very useful tech note on how to maintain our Westfield Commerce DB2 database. And this tech note is going to explain from a database maintenance perspective, not a data perspective. So we're going to be talking about reorg, runstats, and Arbind. And the last link is also related to maintaining your Westfield Commerce DB2 database from a database perspective for DB2 and not from a data perspective. So if we can move to slide 22, and I'll pass back to Joseph.
At this point, Amy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Amy. And Andre, I do notice a couple of questions in the group chat area. Would you like to answer those right now on the phone?
Sure. Can you help me find the question?
Okay. And I am actually going to announce them right now. So the first question here comes from Steve B. Opposite of dbclean, is there a utility or a set of SQL statements that could be run to verify or validate the table relationships? I'm looking for a way to identify offended roles or broken relationships.
So if you have a foreign key relationship that is enforced, you're not going to have orphaned rows or, I mean, broken relationships, because the foreign key is going to be enforcing that rule all the time, every time you do an insert. I guess this is because the foreign key was disabled somehow, but I'm guessing that when you try to re-enable it, DB2 is going to complain of what rows are not qualifying for the criteria. I don't really know if that is answering the question. In the article that I referenced, there's a script on how you can create a tree with all the table relationships. I don't know if that would help.
The next question comes from Rajiv, and his question is, does the locking happen to child tables if update happens on non-key columns on parent table?
I'm thinking that if an update is done on a non-key, so the cascade delete would only affect, I mean, if you're updating a row that is part of the cascade delete relationship, or if you're doing a delete. If you're performing an update just on a non-key column that is not part of the foreign key, then you won't see a cascade delete problem.
The next question comes from Nafi, and the question is, do you have a list of tables on which dbclean can be performed?
This is all in the info center. When you look for dbclean, you're going to see all the offsets. So dbclean has two parameters. One is the offset type, one is the offset, and one is the type. For example, for offset, you would have orders, and type is going to be pending orders. So you have all that documented in the info center, and also there's a page in the info center that is going to list all the deletes that are going to be executed for each type. So you should be able what is going to be deleted from there. There's a table in the schema called cleanconf, and that table is going to contain all the deletes that are executed from dbclean when you're using the any offset or any type to perform a cleanup. So by looking at cleanconf, you can get a really, really good visibility into what is going to be deleted and all the different rules.
Thank you, Ajay. And at this time, Amy, I think it's a good idea to open the lines for questions again, just in case any of our customers have follow-up questions to ask.
Our first question comes from Daniel Asari. Your line is open.
My question is about slide 16, where, Andres, you mentioned that you may need to create a handful of indexes. What sort of indexes are these? Are these just indexes you need to support your delete statements?
As I mentioned, the requirement is that DB2 needs indexes to support all the foreign keys. Now, the thing with DB2 is that it is going to be locking the tables as it goes. And if you're not using a table, most likely you're not going to need an index on it. So from our testing, we have taken some pre-populated databases, and we have run member delete, concurrent member deletes, and we haven't seen any locking. So we haven't need. We didn't have to create any indexes. However, as I'm saying, the requirement is that you need to have an index there. So especially if you have customizations, extensions to the schema, you need to run the deletes and verify that you're not going to be getting any locking. And if you are getting locking, when you look at the snapshot for logs, you're going to see what table the locking is on. So the first thing you need to do is to see if you're getting an end-of-table log, you need to go and check if that table contains the index on the foreign key. And if it doesn't, you can create the index and then try the delete again. And if it doesn't log, that means that index is required.
All right, great. Thank you.
No problem.
At this time, there are no other questions.
Okay. Thank you.
So thank you, Amy and Andre, for the Q&A session. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.